land your situation where it may be. Even the father of the prodigal son left. The Bible says that the father saw the prodigal son are far off, right? Which means he had to be expecting him. Amen. I don't know what any of our situations are, but expect that God is going to move and that God is going to perform miracles. How many need a miracle?
Amen.
How many need a miracle?
Amen.
God will bless you, but it's according to your faith. He that cometh to God must believe. Believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. So you won't get your blessing or your miracle if you're not looking for it or seeking after it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we just thank God for that. We're going to ask you to stand. Our scripture reading tonight is going to come from the 26th through the 4th, 26th, first chapter of Genesis, verse 26. And then we're going to finish in Genesis 2 and verse 4. Amen? So Genesis 1, 26 through Genesis 2, 4. If we all have it, can we just say amen? And for those that don't have it, it should be on the screen. We can start at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God, and he said, let us, but who did it?
God.
So that's part of the us, and we'll go over that a little later, amen? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was, he saw all it was what? Very good after he made man. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Amen. May the Lord have blessed you to read the word in the church said. The word of the Lord is blessed already. Amen. You may be seated. Now, creation, the whole revelation of the creative days. I'm going to go over that, but I did a chart. This is one of Bishop G.T. Haywood's charts. I was actually trying to find a large chart to put back on the wall, but if we can pull the chart up, we'll go over this. This kind of gives a clearer explanation of the creative days. It shows the past ages, shows that we're in the present age, the age to come. All right, do we have that? All right, so you all have this all in your handout, but we know day one, God said, let there be light. And you see what the fire starts burning? That's day one. Day two, when he said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the heavens to separate the water from above from below, we see the earth is spinning. Day three, we know the whole process up to day five. So all the way to day five is past age, because it has passed. you notice between day 5 and day 6, you see the fall of Lucifer. Do y'all see that? Between day 5 and day 6, you see the fall of Lucifer. And it says the earth was born, and it shows the scriptures there for those we should have them. Isaiah 14, 12, Ezekiel 28, 17, and Luke 10, 18. And then there's another one we will go over a little later also. Then it shows that we're named in what age? The what? Present age, which is what day is it? The sixth day. All right. And it's so important that we realize between the fifth day and the sixth day, God recreates or remakes the fowls, the creatures, living creatures, and the beasts. And the one thing that we have to remember about day 5, I didn't bring it up, but I did notice it when I read it. God didn't just make regular whales when he made whales. If you look at the Bible, he made what kind of whales? Great whales. Right? So great whales. But all of that was destroyed when Satan fell and everything was in ruin. All right, so then that brings us up to the present age. And if you count each year, 7,000. So we are in the 4,000th year of creation of man. All right, 6,000. So 35 and 6 means what? 41,000. All right, so we're 41,000 years. So now scientists say that the earth is billions and billions and billions of years old. But they don't know God's plan. Amen. And then the age to come would be the what day? The seventh day. Alright, so that's just so you can see it more clearly. And there is more stuff in this, but we won't go over it now because when we go over it now, we'll be ahead of what we're supposed to be doing. Alright, so you'll notice some other stuff there that we're not going to actually go over now. But the first 5 books are called the what? The Pentateuch. Right? The first 5 books are the Pentateuch. And you know, as I was looking, we always say that Moses wrote the book of Genesis, which is true. But the question is, how did Moses know about creation? Right? Revelation, right? How did he know? All right. So let's go to our notes. We're going to go through our notes. All right. To explain a few things about the revelation. Because I was like, I know Moses got my revelation, but the question is, when did he get it? All right? Because you know, God doesn't do anything unless he always needs a what? A record of it. So my question, which is, I was trying to be preemptive. Because I know somebody's going to have the right question of when did Moses get the revelation? I'm trying to encourage the questions. how do we know Moses got the revelation? All right, so let's address that, okay? So we started our notes. It is commonly believed and taught by the majority of theologians and Bible scholars that Moses wrote Genesis through Deuteronomy. Also, we know that as the Pentateuch. The big question is, how did Moses write about creation when he was not there to know how God created everything in the beginning? We know that Moses wrote Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I want to bring out something about the special relationship that Moses had with the Lord so we can get a better understanding of how he received the revelation of creation 37,000 years after it happened. All right, so we break it. The first day is 7,000 years. We know each succeeding day is 7,000 years. And when Moses wrote Genesis, it was in the 2,000th year of the sixth day. So if you add 7 times 5 is 37 plus 2. So he wrote it 37,000 years later. We all see that, right? This is when he wrote. But the question is, how does he know 37,000 years later what God did in the beginning? All right? Moses was with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights on 2 separate occasions. Right? Let me go over this. 40 days and 40 nights, just him and the Lord. Right? So it's, wow, what in the world was Moses doing with God for 40 days and 40 nights. All right? When he received revelation and specific details from God, now let's go to Hebrews 8, chapter verse 5. This is concerning Moses. All right? When and how did Moses receive this revelation? Verse 8:5 of Hebrews 8 reads, who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that God made all things according to the hand and show thing in the mount. All right. And then if you read about, I believe it's in Hebrews, the, I forget which chapter of Hebrews, the Hebrews, not the 11th chapter, but it says, it talks about Moses didn't build, the tabernacle that he built wasn't the true tabernacle. Because the true tabernacle, God built that. All right, so just remember that. Now, it might happen again or may not. So the first time Moses was in the mount with God for 40 days was for 9 chapters. Right? In Exodus 24 to Exodus 32, Moses was with God receiving instructions. This is the first time. And while they were there, God stopped the meeting. If you read about it, Exodus 37 chapter, he said, Moses, get thee down quickly, because the people are in error. So Moses left quickly and came down, okay? So then the next time that he said, and I'm going to go over these in a few minutes, the next time that Moses is with God for a second time for 40 days was in the 33rd chapter. So in those 80 days, God gave Moses a whole lot of revelation. Not only did he give him revelation, but he gave him specific instructions about the tabernacle. But the tabernacle was a shadow of heavenly things. Right? Remember that? The tabernacle. Moses was receiving all these instructions, but they're about heavenly things. Alright? So Moses was special to God as a prophet. The scriptures say God spoke to Moses face to face. Now Numbers 12, I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. Say, well, how do we know that Moses got a special revelation from God? Amen? Just to explain how we know that Moses got the revelation about creation. Numbers 6, 12, 6 reads, and he said, hear now my words. This is God speaking to Miriam and Aaron when they were questioning Moses' position as a leader. He said, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. He said, but my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, or it could also be face to face, even apparently and not in dark. God, he said, now I'm not going to speak to Moses in parables or in something that's hidden. Amen. Not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he. He said he's going to even see the form of God. Amen. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak unto him? And then Deuteronomy 34:10 says the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Now Moses was such a great spiritual figure in Israel that the Lord buried Moses, and no one knows to this day where the Lord buried him. Now who else did God bury? Right. He didn't bury anybody else. Alright? And you can read in your spare time, read Matthew 17, 1 through 8. Alright, so let's go to Deuteronomy 34. Why was Moses so special? How did Moses receive this revelation from God? The Bible says all the other prophets, he deal with them in dreams and in visions. He said, but not my servant Moses. With him I'm going to speak to him how? Face to face. And Deuteronomy 34, 1 says, and Moses went up from the plain of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead Let's go down to verse 5, okay? It's just telling you what he's seeing. And verse 5 says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of God. And he
buried him
in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher. Moses was special. God buried him. But there's another reason God had to bury him, because Moses was so special that he didn't want the people to worship Moses. Remember when they had the plague in the wilderness, and God told Moses to make a serpent, a brass serpent, and put it on a pole. Later on, God had to destroy the net to kill the plague. Later on, God had to destroy the serpent. You know why? They started worshiping it. Right? So Moses was kind of special to God. And this is the most remarkable thing. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural form. So listen, in other words, he was healthy. Right? But God took him and buried him. I gotta look more into that too. So they said he buried him, but then he said, I guess he died there, they said, right? But I know he said when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, who appeared unto them? Moses and Elijah. Now we know Elijah never died. Alright, so let's put that in your thing, then. Let's keep going. Don't be creating no revelations. Alright? if he was strong and nothing wrong, why did he die? Isn't that a good question? The scripture gave him healthy. That's what it means. He was healthy. But nevertheless, let's get down to what we gotta get to. Exodus 24:12. Alright. Now this is when Moses received direct instructions and details from God. Verse 12, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach. So he said, I'm going to give you stuff so you can do what?
Teach.
Teach. Right? So it is not something that he already has. He had to give him something
new.
He said, I'm going to give you them so you can teach them. Now, the Ten Commandments, God wrote them himself in the stones. But what Moses had to teach, Moses had to write. So how did Moses get this? He said, I'm going to give it to you. Now, you got to go back and now
teach.
All right? So I know for all of you that want to know how he got it, you're going to keep going to figure out how he got it. Verse 15 says, and Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called out to Moses out of the midst of the... And God, 6 days is preparations. The seventh day God calls him out of the cloud. He created the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested. And if you look at the chart, which we'll go over later, God has how many holy days? 7. Right? He has 7 holy days. Each one of God's holy days, which we will go over later because it's not till the fifth, it's 23. So don't be peeping and jumping and skipping. Because that's way too far in advance. Leviticus is way back there, but each one of God's holy days mirrors his creative days. Right? Just remember that, okay? All right, so let's keep going. Verse 17 says, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a
fire.
God said, let there be light, and there was
fire.
All right, the top of the mountain was eyes for the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gave him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount
40 days.
No, I didn't make it up. The scripture says he was in how long?
40
days and 40 nights. And like I said, if you go to verse 30, to chapter 32, God said, Moses, get these down quickly because Aaron and Nadab had made a golden calf and the people were worshiping. In Exodus 33, Moses and God are talking to each other. And God, Moses is telling God, this is a stiff-necked people. He said, I can't go anywhere unless you go with me. And then at the end of chapter 33, 33 of Exodus. Boldly tell God, he said, show me your glory. My foundation, show me your glory. God said, I'm going to put you in, the Lord said, now I got to stop saying God. We got to get the relationships right. But the Lord said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. He said, I'm going to cover your eyes because nobody can see God's glory and live. Right? This is how special Moses were, we're going to find out in this 34th chapter. So he said, right now, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to cover you until my face goes by. He said, you can only see God. Hide the bars. Right? So then, in the 34th chapter of Exodus, Brooke, why do you ask me? You're about to ask some questions, right?
I was appreciating my Lord.
Okay. All right. But we make a big mistake, and I'm going to go over this later. God's relationships are dependent upon his name. God's relationships are dependent upon his name. So we shouldn't use God when it's the Lord, and we shouldn't use the Lord when it's God. Because they are entirely different. And then at the same time, they are the same. That's a common twist. Let's keep going on Moses. All right, so in chapter 24 to 32, 9 chapters, Moses is in the mountain of God receiving revelations and instruction. You know, 9 chapters is a whole lot of time to be receiving something from God, right? Now let's go to Exodus, the 34th chapter. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee 2 tables of stone like unto the first. Because when he came down and saw the people in idolatry, Moses threw the stones down and broke them. So he said, like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first chapter, not the way the first tables which I broke. So who's writing in the stone? God is writing in the stones. And be ready in the morning, and come in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain, neither let the flock nor the herd see before that mountain. And he hewed 2 tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning. He went up to the mount unto Sinai, as the Lord commanded him, and he took in his hand the 2 tables of stones. Now it is so important that I should have brought out in I don't know which chapter it was, I think it's one of those chapters. It says the Lord spoke to Moses, but then God wrote the stone. So the Lord speaks to Moses. But God writes on the stone because God is the creative power, right? He's the power. But they're all the same. But it's a different relationship, okay? So let's keep going. Verse 27, let's just skip down because we can't read it all tonight. Lest people will start sneaking out on me. And I got the camera set to go off as an alert. Every time somebody walks out the back door, my phone goes off, so I know you're there. Isn't that true? That's true. So y'all can't see that, okay? I got you. All right, so verse 27. All right, now Moses is in the what? In the mountain. Now let's see how great God really is. 27, the Lord said to Moses, write down these
words.
Well, what is it writing? Revelation. He's writing about the tabernacle, but he's also writing about, right, because it's going to take 40 days for him to give us instructions on the tabernacle. But he said, write these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread nor drink. How can Moses be with God 40 days and 40 nights and didn't eat or drink anything? Right? Well, how can it be? Because he was in the presence of the sustainer. All right, that's cute. All right, we can't, if we go 3 or 4 days, our bodies will shut down. All right, I can tell you a story about the world, because it'll take away from what we're doing. Verse 29 says, well, let me finish this. And he wrote the tables, and he wrote upon the tables with the words of the covenant, the 10. God wrote this. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wished not that the skin of his face shone while he talked. Listen, Moses, not only was he with God, but some of their presence, some of their glory, passed on to Moses. And when Moses came down, we're going to get back to Genesis. I know we're a little off. I'm just going to show you how he received the revelation. So you don't doubt that Moses wrote it. There was something about being with God. His face shone. All right? So it says his face shone. And when Aaron and all Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were. Moses was special. Listen, nobody else did God do this for them. Nobody else did God take and bury. Nobody else did God spend personal time for 80 days giving them a revelation of the past and also stuff for the present and stuff for the future. Right. Lord, let me spend 80 days in your presence. You say, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, and his right hand is at play. Get in his presence. All right, so for 48 days at this time. All right, so verse 31 says, and Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And after all the children of Israel came down and he gave them commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speak with him, they had put a veil over his face because of the glory. Right? Listen, nobody else in history had the experience that Moses had. So while he was up in the mount, God was giving him instruction. And let's go to verse 35. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them. So God sets Moses aside from any other man. Listen, Moses, son of son, I know Moses said he was called, Paul said he was called to the third heavens. And he saw things that were unspeakable for a man to utter. But I don't imagine that Paul saw what Moses saw. Moses came, Moses was like Jesus when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was like a bright light. So bright that the people come look on. So that's how he received the revelation. And if God had been there showing him stuff about the past, Moses was like, oh, things too wonderful for me that I knew not. All right, let's keep going. Now that's how we know, skeptics, unbelievers. That's how we know that Moses received the revelation from the beginning of time. Because he spent 80 days getting instructions from God. It wasn't nobody, listen, God said, this is so important, I don't even have time to feed you or give you nothing to drink. All I want you to do is come back with the information. So you gotta put it on paper so everybody else gets it. Alright? Alright, now let's continue. The significance of a name in the Hebrew. And I said it's important that we know what it means in names. Alright? So if we compare Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, God. Who created? God. Alright? With Genesis 2:4-5, these are the generations of the heavens and earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God. All right, so from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Genesis 1:31 is all about It's plural, and this is what they say, it's plural intensive, but it's singular in meaning. Right? Because that Elohim represents the fullness of God. It represents everything about God. It represents God as the creator. Alright? Elohim is in the plural because God has many different attributes. Amen. As we will find out. And before we go to that, just to show you how important it is when we take God in the singular. Let's go to, I didn't give you this, but go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, we'll start in the 22nd verse. Now, we're dealing with God as creator. God as, listen, look at somebody and say, God is everything. Do y'all sing the song, God is my everything, or the Lord is my everything? God is. All right. So God is my everything. So go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to go start in verse 22. All right. God, when it comes to relationships, He is God created as Elohim. He is the Lord in the covenant relationship. All right. So in, as Elohim, He is creator. God said, let there be. But then when He begins to form and make everything, He's no longer Elohim, but He's Jehovah Elohim, because of the now is a relationship. So that's important to understand. Amen? So 15:22 reads, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are pressed at his coming. Then is all the way. Then comes the what? The end. And what happens at the end? When he shall have delivered up the kingdom back to God. When? In the end. So in between the beginning and the end, God has different manifestations. God has different relationships. Right? Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Ra. Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. But then He's also God and He's Lord. Some Lords are Jehovah, some Lords are Adonai. Alright? So He has all of these. So for us, when we see Lord, we make it one. But each one was a different relationship to mankind. Remember that, okay? And don't go cheap and look away in the back. Actually, I didn't give you all that because I figured somebody would be real smart and be skimming through to the rest of it. So I cut this off at 6. The rest, Lord willing, you did it next week. I know you skimmers don't want to stay where we are. But let's keep going, okay? So He said, then the end cometh when He shall deliver the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall put down all rule and all. Well, we know God is the Father. Right? Right? But in the end, there won't be a need for a Father. So He's going to deliver Him up. And we're going to find out in the end there won't be a need for a Son either. Because those are the relationships between God and man. But in the end, the relationship will no longer exist or be needful. Does everyone understand that? Alright? So let's keep going. Alright? Verse 25 says, for He must reign till He put all. Put what? All enemies. This is talking about Jesus. Okay? He's going to reign till all enemies are put under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'm going to go off a little bit. I imagine when Jesus died, death said, we finally got Him. When He went to the grave, shall we got Him. Then He went down in the hell and preached to those spirits that were in prison. They said, we got Him. But on the third day, Jesus shook it down. now. Let's go back to the notes. That's nice. All right. Let's keep going. So it says, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things put under him, it is manifest that he is, which put all things. Well, who put all things under Jesus? God. So all things is under him, but God is what? Accepted. Does everybody understand that? Because now, we like to lump it all together. We're dealing with relationships. In the beginning, there was only God because there was eternity. There was no need of a father. There was no need of a son. There was no need of the Holy Ghost because those are God's relationships with man. So in eternity, there's only God. So then he says in the last part of verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued, not till, then the Son also shall be what? Subject unto him. To put all things on him. Then what? The God of eternity will be the God of eternity again. All the other relationships finish. Because the relationships are all they needed. Get us back to God. Alright, so does everybody understand that? Alright, now let's go back to the notes. I have to just throw that in here for no charge. I have to get ahead of y'all because y'all want y'all asking y'all hard questions. Alright, so now we're dealing with the Lord, okay? And we're dealing with God did everything in verse 1, but then when he starts to make man and the things that are needed, it's the Lord God, because now there is a covenant relationship. Prior to God making man, in the sixth day, there was no covenant relationship. Alright. Also, you know what? If you look at the Bishop Haywood's chart in the fifth day, I always wonder when the angels created. Right? It shows that they were created in the fifth day. Because right after they were created is when Lucifer, for those 7,000 years, acted up. So the Lord said, here, I want to take care of you right now. So he threw him right on down to the earth. All right, we're going to go over that if we get far enough. That's good. All right. So if we see our line in the beginning, God created. All right. In verse 4, it says, they were created in the name of the Lord God. This is the first time we see the term Lord God. Prior to this, it was always God. Because there was no man. There was no relationship. There was no covenant relationship. So there was only God. Amen? Let's go. We only find the name God, Elohim, the plural tense and singular meaning of God, the living God, the power of creation. Right. Elohim is the power of creation. Now, there will be cases when you read through the Bible, when the Bible talks about gods, little gods, the used term Elohim is used in the plural of the idol gods. But that is a different relationship. When we talk about God as the creator, that Elohim is the almighty, powerful, creating God. Amen? In the creative plan from Genesis 1:3, to Genesis 2:3, that's once again the one, just the plan, the creative plan. We find the name Lord God in the execution or formation of the creative plan. So God does the planning, but the Lord God does the work. Right? Because it's a covenant relationship. Does everybody understand that? Before we go further, I try to break it down simple enough. The big question is why? Elohim occurs 2,700 times in the Old Testament. Its first occurrence connects it with the creation and gives it the central meaning as creator of all. Okay? The use of the name Lord, which is Jehovah, the covenant God, or his covenant name, establishes establish his covenant relationship with his creation and creatures. We want to point out that there's a difference between being created and to make. There's a difference between creation and making. Remember, David said, "Lord, created me a clean heart in me." You got to make something. There ought to be something that they can create. Okay? So there's a difference between creating and making. To create is to originate, to cause to exist. That's creation. To make is to form or produce. In Genesis 2:3, this distinction is clearly seen when it says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works which he had created and what? And made." But the proper translation should be created to make. Alright? He rested from all of his work that he had created to make. Alright, do we understand that? Any questions? Y'all look very confused right about that. Right. It's a difference between creation and making. Alright? So he rested from all of his work that he had created to make. Amen? Alright, let's keep going. Maybe it'll explain better. His creative plan was finished before the foundation of the world, but his work wasn't done. His plan was finished. We know the word's not done because what day are we in? We have yet to get to the seventh day. So he is still working. Will would be like, "You get it, Will?" Will said, "I don't know." Will about to start speaking in Spanish. Oh, start speaking in Spanish. No comprende. It's so important that we understand the difference between created and made. Alright. He had to create a plan for 7 days. But we're in the sixth day, so he is still working. Alright? We should also point out that it was God, after God had completed his creative plan, that he said that everything that he made was
very good.
He said it was all very good, but that's very good. God's plan was perfect in every detail from the beginning to the
end.
From the beginning to the end. Right. Yet, before he began the formation of his plan, which he had created to make, right, he created the plan, then he had to execute it. Created to what? Make. 1:3 to 2:3, he created. Then he had to make it. Alright? So it says, in this infinite wisdom, yes, sir.
You just said that created and then executed. That made it more clear.
Okay. All right. Created, all right.
Then
he had to execute. Okay.
That made it very clear.
All right. So he created the plan, but he had to execute the plan. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
All right. So, created to make through his infinite wisdom and knowledge, he saw the fall of Lucifer and of all the angels which were innumerable. So he has a plan. In his plan, he sees Lucifer fall. Alright, does everybody understand that?
Amen.
He sees Lucifer falls. Alright. So when he said, "Let us," he's seeing the church. Right? Because he has chosen us in him before the world was not yet formed, but God had already chosen. Who's the us? The church. When he said us, he already sees that Jesus has to come in the redemptive state form. Alright? That's the us. And then for Revelation 12:9, let me just read this. Because we often say a lot, but people never have scripture to support it. All right, so we say, "Well, how do we know that Lucifer had a third of the angels and then they were innumerable?" Think about that. How do you take a third of something that you can't count? Because God is omniscient. He said he made all the stars and has a new star born all the time. But God named every star. Okay? Revelation 29, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called and which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into earth, and his angels were cast out. 12:4 says, we went backwards, just so you can think, well, he was cast out. And there's tail to the star, which was cast out to the earth with him. So he got a third of all those angels. He deceived them into what? Father, in God's creative plan, he sees this. But he still said that his words were very good. Because he had a plan. Amen? Then let's go to Hebrews 12:22. Just for those who say, well, how do we know he had the innumerable host of angels? The last part, we just read this. Unto the city of the living God, the what? Heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels. So he got a third of all those angels to follow him. Now in heaven they had bodies. But when they cast them down and the earth was ruined, they became disembodied spirits. So the reason that the devil liked to possess people is because they wore a body. Remember when Jesus was casting the demon out, there was a whole herd of swine? They said, don't put us in the air. He said, but cast us into the swine. Because they always want to embody something. Because they had a body, but they no longer do. That's no good. That's not important. God also saw the fall of man and his condition of sin. God saw his work marred, made void, ruined without form, and wasted. But this could not alter his purpose or his plan had to stand. Even though there were hiccups along the way, even though there was a mess up, God's plan had to stand. Remember that we went over in Isaiah 46:10, which states, declaring, God said, listen, I'm telling you the end, but I'm telling you it from the beginning. I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times and things, they're not yet done. So God declared the end from the beginning. He says, still ain't done. Say my counsel shall stand. Right? My counsel shall stand and I will. God said, even though these Satan messed up and fallen, and man messed up, he said, my counsel shall stand. Well, why does God's counsel have to stand? Because he declared from the beginning. So he already said there's going to be 6 days and a seventh day rest. Can nothing alter God's plan? That's why it's so important that we get the mind of God for our personal life. Because when you walk in the light as he's in the light, the devil in hell can't do anything against you. Right? Because God has a plan and he has a counsel, but we got to walk in that counsel because he said, my counsel, he said, if I said it, shall I not do it? And if I spoke it, shall I not make it good? Because that's his plan. All right, keep going. Somebody says, y'all just got to try and preach. Don't preach this thing simple. Right? Y'all want to say something? I don't talk my little girl Zoe to sleep. Whatever say she sleep to? Oh, everybody sleep. All right, let's keep going. God also saw the fall of man. Okay, so also Acts 15:18 reminds us that all God's words were known unto him. All of God's words were known unto him from the beginning. So nothing has happened today against God by surprise, because he declared the end from the beginning. All that was recorded in Genesis 1:3 to Genesis 2:3 was spoken in the beginning. Before the foundation, there was no world. But God had already spoken in the beginning. This is a critical point in understanding the secret of the revelation of the ages And God, you got to understand, it happened. He declared it from the beginning, okay? If we understand this, then there should be no difficulty in grasping the thing which have been kept secret since the world began. Because God reveals it unto us by His Spirit. And now, I had always read the scripture, but I never paid attention to it. So I was just researching all the stuff that happened before the foundation of the world. Now, Matthew 13:34-35, this is who speaking? Jesus. These are the parables that he's given. He's already given the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat, the parable of the tares. He's given these parables. But then he explains to them about the parables. And it's so important that you got to have God's Spirit to understand. Remember he told them, he said, well, Moses, I will not speak to Moses in riddles. Riddles are parables. Riddles are hidden sayings that you can't figure out. He said, well, Moses, I can't speak to him in a parable because I got to let him know what I'm doing from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Right? So when Moses, you remember, you go back and read it. He said, I can't speak to him in a riddle. That riddle is a parable. That's something that's hidden. That's something that's not evident. It's not clear. He said, Moses have to put this and teach you, so I can't make it secret. I got to let him know. Right? So then, Jesus said in Matthew 13:34, all these things made Jesus unto them, unto the multitude in what?
Parables.
He's speaking in what? Parables. Parables is it is not something clear cut. It's not something that you can just look at and see. But there's a hidden truth behind the parable. There's a riddle behind the parable. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, I know Sister Virginia, Sister Maribel, everyone here, and Missionary Brown, everybody else know about this. In Proverbs, chapter 1, he talks about the dark sayings. Right, the hidden things that are not evident. All y'all chapter 1 Proverbs know this. At least, I know y'all at least have to read chapter 1 of Proverbs. We read a book of Proverbs every day of the month for a whole year. So you have to listen to the first chapter. Right? And that's like in the first 6 verses. So you have to know about the dark sayings. Actually, let's go there. Let me show you. These parables, these hidden things that are not evident, is throughout the scripture. But you can only understand them by the Spirit. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Let me read this one quickly as a reminder for those of you that read it 12 times last year. See, that's why you guys start reading God's Word, because He got it spread out a little here and a little there. Right? All over. Verse 6 says, well, it's so much to me. Let's just go right to this. It says, to understand a proverb and the
interpretation.
And the interpretation, the words of the
wise
and there is not evident. It's not clearly seen. Right? But a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. Alright. Let's go back here because I'm running low on time. Alright. So now this is what Jesus said, without a parable he spake not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets were in what book? The Old Testament. The prophets are in the New Testament. Even though they are prophets, but the prophets that he's referring to is in the Old Testament, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have Jesus is repeating, he said, I'm going to utter some things that have been kept. But I'm going to tell you in parables. Right? Because there's some secret hidden stuff that's been hidden from the
foundation
of the world. Remember he said the prudent and the wise can't get this. But God has revealed them unto babes. Because his manifold wisdom and knowledge will be revealed unto the church. Alright? Let me see, I'm almost finished. Let's stop there because when I get into names, I can't finish. Y'all can review from here to the next part as we go forward, okay? About the names, because the names are very important, but we'll be here for a long time to go through that. Amen. So y'all can review that. So remember, God says, Jesus himself said he's making them in parables, so that he wouldn't understand the things that have been kept secret. You say, wait a minute, how did Jesus say these things have been kept secret with all the wise men that have come along? Because they did not yet have the Spirit. That's the whole manifestation, which we will go over, Lord willing, next week, which I did not give you all, but let me all be trying to ask too many questions. Amen.
Sister Jasmine, what your name used to be before you became Simon?
You don't remember? Who?
Reynoso.
All right, you used to be Reynoso, but then you are Simon. Well, why are you Simon when you used to be Reynoso? Because you what? You're married. So when you got married, you have to take on the husbands. I don't know how in the world you can go to the bride of Christ and he got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because they have not yet taken on the no charge, I said. Relationships. So it's so important, as you said, he has all those different relationships, but he's still the same person. And that's what is so important to understand when it comes to God. There are different relationships, but it's the same person. Different relationships, but it's the same person. And it's so important that we understand that. And like I said, next week with the help of the Lord, we will get more into the relationship so we can understand that the difference between God and our God. Amen. Do we have any, does anyone need prayer for anything before we